I'm curious to know if you've ever returned to the Dust Bowl in the central part of this country to investigate any changes in the conditions since the time that you were there doing the research for your novel.
I have not gone back through Arkansas and Oklahoma, what you call the Dust Bowl area, with any idea of research, but I have been through there since and have looked at the ground that I had looked at before.
Did you find any striking changes?
Oh, yes, I found a great many changes. I found that the land was cared for in a different way entirely. I think that when the first of our great dust storms had caused the depopulation of the land happened, that there were no facilities to take care of such a tragedy. When I wrote The Grapes of Wrath, I was filled naturally with certain angers, and certain angers at people who were doing injustices to other people, or so I thought. I realize now that everyone was caught in the same trap. If you remember, we had a depression at that time. The depression caught us without the ability to take care of it. It took a long time for us to develop the agencies to take care of such economic difficulties. When the dust came up, people were starving and they had no place to go. Naturally, they went to in a direction where they would not suffer from cold. They went toward California. They came in their thousands to California. And what did they meet? They met people who were terrified, well, number one, of depression, and were horrified at the idea that great numbers of indigent people were being poured on them to be taken care of. They could only be taken care of by taxation. Taxes were already high, and there wasn't much money about. They reacted perfectly normally. They became angry. When you become angry, you fight what you're angry at. They were angry at these newcomers. Gradually, through government agency, through the work of private citizens, agencies were set up to take care of these situations. And only then did the anger begin to decrease. And when the anger decreased, these two sides, these two groups, were able to get to know each other, and they found they didn't dislike each other at all.
At the time of the terrible Dust Bowl disasters in the late 30s, that the people who left the Dust Bowl at that time, and as you say, went to California looking for a living, seemed to take with them a kind of a hate and loathing for the land, which was probably understandable in terms of what the land had done to them through this calamity. Do you find, going when you went back through that part of the central part of the country, that there was a different attitude on the part of the people toward the land that provided their living?
The word hatred I find a little strong. They had not so much a loathing as they had a feeling of sorrow that they'd been let down by the one thing they depended on. They never lost a feeling for land as such. They may have gained a kind of a distrust for that particular land. Which, yes, I'm going back, I find that that's gone entirely.
Can we talk about a little in detail about some of the measures that have been provided by government agencies and private agencies in terms of the people who live there, to reclaim this land and bring it back to productivity so that it can support people?
Well, I suppose the first thing the government has done has been to set the small farmers a little apart from quick, sudden, and overwhelming bankruptcy through the providing of facilities for money if necessary. They have not always that stark terror that their children are going to starve to death. Then our departments, I think particularly of agriculture, in studying the cause of the dust storms themselves, that is, apart from the acts of nature, such as great winds following sudden freshets and sudden dryings, have developed methods, very simply, of crop rotation, of contour plowing, of the planting of windbreaks, which make it so that if such a violent situation in nature should happen again, I do not think it would have the overwhelming and devastating effect it had before. Certainly, it wouldn't find the people terrified, and it wouldn't find them in the necessity to run away just for the sake of living.
Well, do you think that there's any one thing that was responsible for bringing about this really revolutionary change? Is there any one thing to which it can be attributed?
Oh, yes, I think so. I think that we suddenly, through necessity, achieved a government which was responsible for all of its people. And I think this had not happened before. This had, I think, very little to do with administration. With the political administration of the time. I think any party that had been in then would have been forced to make such arrangements or to have disappeared. But the fact that we were able to make it is one, I think, of the proofs of our safety. This responsibility, I think, and the spreading of responsibility, the lack of islands of safety in actual warfare against other islands of population, the need for the central government to take care of every small necessity, I think that's what did it. And I also think that it can't ever be lost. The only thing is that I don't want it to appear that I've painted an entirely rosy picture. I don't intend to say that everything is working perfectly smoothly and that we have solved all of our problems. We haven't. We still have many problems. But I think the safe thing is that we have solved so many of them and that the solutions have been the product of ourselves, the product of our own people, working together. There have many more to solve, but at least we're on the way to.
At least we've learned how now.
Yeah, at least we've learned the method.
Well, it's been very interesting to me, and I'm sure to our listeners, to hear something about this comparison of the Grapes of Wrath then at the time and now in 1952. And thanks a lot for talking to us about it.